there a doctor in the house?
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Doctor.
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 And doctor.
It's time for Advanced Medicine Monday with Dr. Rashid Batar.
I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer.
A doctor, not a mechanic.
I'm a doctor, not a coal miner.
The doctor is in.
Yes, it commences. The doctor is in. Dr. Rashid Batar, Advanced Medicine Monday, officially underway here on our new stations all over America through GCN Live, naturalnewsradio.com, etc. Dr. Batar, my friend.
How are you, Robert?
Doing well, doing well. Stunning stories, though, we've been covering since we kicked it in last week. One that you pointed out to me, I think your wife sent this out, there's Medicare fraud horror. And I'm thinking, what is a Medicare fraud horror except that docs can bill for anything that they're already normally trained in doing? But this one might even be worse.
Yeah, this is just unbelievable. It actually puts the picture of a horror movie in your mind, because it's about a cancer doctor indicted for billing unnecessary chemo. But the amount of it, I mean, $150 million of chemo within the 3-year time frame.
So it only took Medicare about 3 years to figure this thing out. So you could bill $150 million giving chemo to people who don't need it. Of course, our perspective is that pretty
nobody
much
needs it, right?
Yeah, all chemo is unnecessary unless you're trying to kill the patient.
Right.
This is a brutal thing for people to hear if they're new to this kind of idea or thought form. But allopathic oncology is a mechanism by which they profit off of disease and even iatrogenic death, if you will, because the medicines are more toxic and dangerous than the cancer they're claiming to treat.
Exactly. And the interesting thing here is the system has actually arrested this doctor for what we would probably say all doctors should be
at least call him the question.
Arrested, but at least, they think they're trying to do the right thing. But this guy was put on a $9 million bond because he charged $150 million over a 3-year period for giving all these patients unnecessary chemo. Apparently, even in the parking lot, in their cars, drive-through chemo. That's kind of got to...
Yeah, it was inevitable it was going to go this way. One of the things here, this Dr. Fatah routinely prescribed chemotherapy and other drastic medical interventions for patients who are either healthy or ill but in need of alternate or, as they say, different treatments. We're not talking about natural stuff. But here you got another acknowledgement, although in a different way. Remember, we've covered recently the JAMA articles that are stunning, one in particular that claims that they goofed on cancer altogether. 30
right.
years of cancer diagnoses, most of them, in fact, millions perhaps, were wrongfully diagnosed that were not even truly cancer.
Yeah, exactly. And Robert, I think this indicates that the universal consciousness that we've talked about so many times is improving, increasing, and the awareness is exponentially getting better and better. And I think this goes hand in hand with those medical journals, with the New England Journal of Medicine and JAMA putting out these studies that traditionally we would have never thought would ever be published, but they are getting more recognition, like the TAC trial that we talked about.
Yes.
Also, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago. So I think this is part and parcel of that, even though this is pretty egregious on the opposite extreme.
Well, and last week I covered a bit on a story, I think it was out of Vermont, somewhere up in New England area, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but about kids now, this particular child born, the parents couldn't breastfeed as much as they wanted to, and they were on goat milk, and the doctor turned the parents in to the
right,
state.
That was Maine.
That's
exactly what it was, Maine.
And then you tell me off the air before we even kick in today, which is fascinating, that you got a connection with a PhD, is it an attorney as well, that is involved right away and found out the details that I was not exaggerating about the threats to this family simply because they were feeding this baby a goat milk formula that they made themselves.
Right, exactly. In fact, Dr. John Calvin Jones, he's a PhD and a JD, so he's a professor of law, and we've got him online today. Hopefully that we can get him on. Robert, I think he's standing by. So.
Yeah, Professor Dr. John Calvin Jones, are you with us? John,
yeah.
He's there. Hey, excellent. Now, you connected with Dr. Rashid. By the way, welcome to the Robert Scott Bell Show. I don't want to be a horrible host and not welcome you here. And Dr. Batar told me a little bit about your background, that you reached out to this family. But before we jump into that, how is it that you got connected or even knew about the story?
I heard it from your show, Robert Scott Bell, actually. Thank you for welcoming me on the show. I listen to you regularly, and I heard the show, and I thought, like a lot of people do, this doesn't sound right. Maybe it's not right. So I did a little quick internet search, found family names, and I figured that the grandmother would probably have her number listed somewhere. And I searched for the grandmother. Her name's Tanya Allen. He was noted in one of the stories. And I called her up, and I said, hey, my name's Dr. John Calvin Jones, and I'd like to help. And I heard this things about your family, and I started talking to the family ever since then, and I was able to get some details. And I think if we get the message out to the right people, this family can get help, but they are in serious need of some assistance, legal and political, and, you know, at the PR level.
Yeah, and Dr. Bhattar, you know, we've talked about some of these family issues, the vaccine issue, the controversies like this, but imagine the state coming to take a baby away that's healthy. And then we're going to find out about the health of this child from what Dr. John Calvin Jones has found out as well directly. But Dr. Bhattar, the idea of feeding a baby goat milk, I mean, this has been used for generations for those that couldn't breastfeed. Goat milk was a natural substitute.
Yeah, I think the real relevant point here, and I think Dr. Jones brought this up on the little press release that he put together himself, is that this wasn't a wealthy, well-to-do type family. This is a the socioeconomic basis of this family was deficient, to say the least. She's a young, unwed mother, and the system just saw her as a perfect person to go after because she just happens to have her own mother who's more aware and more educated and knows what she should do from a preventive basis. And, you know, those of us that have resources or have a couple of letters behind our names, we can have the liberty to do whatever we want, but those that may not have the same socioeconomic privileges, they are essentially victims of the system anytime the system wants to victimize them.
Well, they're very easy to intimidate somebody who's coming from a more impoverished background or on any form of welfare as such. And I'm not one that argues that you should have to give up their rights because of it. I think it's a horrible circumstance if you have to be in it. But oftentimes the state, like bullies, then begins to dictate everything about these families' lives and these children, trying to mandate a vaccine that they still may have a religious belief in that would afford them an exemption from that.
Exactly. And I think the details of the story, because this child actually has done very well. Dr. Jones, you may want to go ahead and elaborate, but I understand that the mother and the father are both smaller in stature. The child is smaller, but still 30 to 50% of the height, weight,
and the percentile. Yeah.
And is well nourished, well hydrated, doing very well, is vaccine free. There's no problems. And even though the child appears from all physical parameters exceptionally healthy, the fact that the child is being given goat's milk with other substances like aloe vera, etc., nutritional beneficial things, agave, etc., that just because a child's on this natural formula with goat's milk as a base that the mother and the grandmother both agreed to, that because it deviates from the quote standard, they have singled them out. And you may want to go into more details, but there's nothing wrong with this child. And parents, to the parents and the grandparents' credit, they have been able to still maintain abstinence from the vaccines, which was their initial goal.
Yes, if I can jump in.
Yes, please.
This family, I would say they're working class, not impoverished by any sense. Okay. The father of the child's a full-time commercial fisherman. You know, and in fact, he works and they earn enough where this young woman can be a stay-at-home mom. So, again, I try to explain some of that in the press release that I sent out, which is it might not be ideal in some respects, but this baby has adult supervision, adult contact 24/7, family contact. And in my mind, you know, I have my own children. That's just ideal. And so they're doing that. And as you said, Dr. Bhattar, no vaccines here. It was a classic case of a teen mother. You could see what happened. The folks at the WIC office or the folks from the state health office, they said, aha, we know how to treat these unwed teen mothers. We're going to treat them like they're stupid, treat them like they're naive, and bowl them over. And they said, well, come in for a doctor's appointment. And the young girl, again, being counseled from her mother, said, wait a second, we don't go to the doctor just because you say go to the doctor with a baby. We go if a baby's sick. Our child's not sick. They went in, and one of the local doctors there pushed vaccines. The young mother said, no, thank you, don't need that. That was in the first month. And then, as you said last week, Robert, you know, all of a sudden, She goes into the WIC office. She's talking. They ask about breastfeeding, and she says, "Well, I'm actually not breastfeeding." And again, you could imagine what a young 17-year-old who's has a healthy baby, who's fed it this goat's milk and other nutritious things, would want to share information and want to help these other people in the WIC office or other, maybe help other mothers. We know not everyone can breastfeed. It's a great blessing if you can, but it can be trying. It can be difficult. This baby was a preemie. We know that sometimes there's difficulties there, either with the milk production or with the baby's ability to digest it well. And so this young woman shares, "Oh, my mother and I, we've come up with our own baby formula with goat's milk." They didn't say anything negative at the WIC office, the grandmother tells me. The young woman leaves, and the next day, bam, the CPS worker shows up and says, "What are you doing? This child is in grave danger. This child needs to go to see a doctor right away." And it starts the whole ball rolling of micromanaging their lives and thinking, in a sense, that the state agents own this child and they can do almost anything. I don't know if we have time now.
No, we got to take a break soon, but I understood it, that the threat was, unless they put this child on baby formula, there might be some further action taken in. And this wasn't even bringing up the vaccine issue just yet. But it's a stunning, another level of awareness that we want to bring out. It's as important as anything that I do here on the Robert Scott Bell Show with Dr. Batar. If you really care about kids and families, you want to have these families come together and raise these children without interference of a medical, governmental, complex, conflicts of interest type nature. So stand by. We've got a lot more healing to go on the Robert Scott Bell Show. It is Advanced Medicine Monday with Dr. Batar and Dr. John Calvin Jones. Back after this.
You're listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
After 22 years of nutritional counseling, I've witnessed that a lot of illness can be linked to toxins and deficiencies combined. Improving your liver function and restoring your cells' ability to detoxify is essential to achieving radiant health. Listen to the real-world results of Doug and his wife after taking One World Way.
My name is Doug Didero. For years, I had an ongoing rash with itching around my eyes. This was due to metal dust particles landing on my face in the workplace. After being on One World Way for 2 weeks, I began to have a severe rash and itching sensation around my eyes. This rash and itching lasted for 5 weeks and is now 100% gone. Additionally, without extra exercise, I've also increased my muscle size, and my wife has lost weight and gained a more attractive figure.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. 888-988-3325, or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
If you ever miss a moment of the Robert Scott Bell Show, particularly here on Monday, Advanced Medicine Monday with Dr. Rasha Batar, the 100 plus 200 almost hours of Advanced Medicine Monday shows available through medicalrewind.com. Check it out. All the links are up in the show notes at robertscottbell.com. Glad to as well today have Professor Dr. John Calvin Jones with us as well. And Dr. Batar, thanks for connecting us. What a great guy.
Yeah, I thought it would be very remiss of us if we did not have him on the show today.
Yeah, check out the press release. We have it linked up in the show notes as well if you want to read about this, because some folks, Dr. Jones, had argued that I was exaggerating when I talked about the threat to the family and the children just simply because they were providing goat milk instead of, baby formula in this case, because they weren't breastfeeding. But you're saying it wasn't an exaggeration.
Right. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
If I could explain, again, if we want to give the benefit of the doubt to the CPS, the Child Protective Service workers, the folks at the Department of Health and Human Services in Maine, we could say, all right, we have a teen mother, we have a preemie. That's understandable. The mother says she's not breastfeeding. Okay. That it's understandable to have a little bit of concern. However, this child was seen by a medical doctor who's connected with the state after month one. No complaint made, no issue of, oh my goodness, need to go to the hospital. This child was seen by another medical doctor of the family's choosing about at age 3 months, and the doctor gave a clean bill of health. It's a Dr. Rice. That doctor, the family thought once we – this was after the report about the goat's milk. So they had a doctor report before the report about the goat's milk. You got a goat's milk investigation issue. You have another doctor that says baby's perfectly fine. They gave that to CPS. CPS took that report and somehow came back a day or two later. The woman's name is Christy Lighton, the CPS worker, and she says the head of Maine's, I guess it's their child abuse clinic or what have you, sight unseen, declared that that child, Carson, was in dire need of medical attention. Even though a medical report literally 24 to 40 hours before said the baby's perfectly healthy and fine, someone sight unseen says this baby's in jeopardy. That was the whole story you mentioned last week, Robert, about them going to the hospital and, mm-hmm. and watching the baby overnight. And as you could imagine, the baby did eat the commercial formula, spitting up, constipated. We can imagine what happens when you go from healthy food to, you know, this GMO-laden processed food. But that's beside the point. Subsequently, just 2 days ago, the CPS worker saw the child again. The CPS worker told the family she'd seen the baby on television and that he was looking better, healthier. He had another doctor's appointment with a third doctor, again, a clean bill of health. But this family has been told they must take this baby to a child abuse clinic in Portland, Maine on September 5th. And that's really what my objective is here, to help prevent this, because I don't see how it can get any better.
Well, a child abuse clinic, are they talking about some kind of medical nutritional neglect because they were using goat milk?
Who knows? It's just a child abuse clinic. But here's the kicker. Who is the doctor who's supposed to examine this child on September 5th? The same one who a couple weeks ago, sight unseen, said this child was in dire need of medical attention, and he didn't get any.
Dr. Batar, you know how much I appreciate and I trust and I know you, but even you are not going to give a diagnosis like that sight unseen, either good, bad, or indifferent. You know, you could certainly have an indication for some, but you don't just say, nope, that baby's in severe danger based on this information.
Well, absolutely. I don't think anybody could. But here's a question. Is that the Dr. Tasha Hoffman, is that the one that made this diagnosis sight unseen?
No, Lawrence Ricci. He's the one who's at the head of the child abuse clinic or the child abuse expert for the state.
Hmm. I see. So they said the Dr. Hoffman, that was only to do with the vaccine issue.
Dr. Hoffman saw the baby at month one and month three, again, pushing vaccines both times. And the Dr. Ricci, I guess, is I don't know the whole hierarchy of the CPS in Maine, but apparently the CPS worker came and said, you have an appointment with him and the child abuse clinic, you know, show up on September 5th. Now the family, I advise them again, I have a law degree. I know some basic civil procedure and they need to get an injunction. They basically need to go to a court and say, judge, tell the CPS to back off. Tell them they can't do this. We have other medical reports. If you want to have a hearing to say whether we should or should not bring this baby in to get another medical evaluation, that's one thing. But you're basically taking this child to someone who you already know has reason to say
we come back to jurisdictional issues. They want this baby on GMO soy formula. This is a crime against kids and families. We're going to get more into it on the other side of this break. You're listening to a special edition of Advanced Medicine Monday with Dr. Rasha Batar and special guest Dr. John Calvin Jones. Back after this.
Live around the world,
the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For 15 years, medical labs have identified and studied redox signaling molecules. Produced within every cell, these molecules are the key to unlock cell repair and replacement. We all produce these amazing molecules, but from puberty on, less and less. But a breakthrough has been made. The world's only redox signaling molecule stabilized outside the body. ASEA is both natural and native to the body, rebuilding your supply of these amazing molecules. The benefits clinically proven. An unprecedented 500% increase in the activity and effectiveness of your own antioxidants. For athletes, a proven 10% performance boost. Yes, even proven by double-blind placebo-controlled trials. And there's more to tell you. Lots more. So go to www.rdxnatural.com. That is www.rdxnatural.com. Let us guide you to the science, support, and a money-back guaranteed first month's trial. rdxnatural.com.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Just how important is it to keep your family intact and, let's say, safe from attack from even the authorities, or maybe especially the authorities in modern medicine that are in cahoots, if you will, with government? I talk about the medical industrial complex as well as the medical monopoly that is sanctioned by government. It's a state sanctioned religion. Here they are trying to take on another family, another baby that is healthy, and they're going to make them unhealthy if this happens. Joining me on Advanced Medicine Monday, along with Dr. Rasha Bitar, is PhD Dr. John Calvin Jones. We have his information linked up in the show notes today. And this is quite a story, Dr. Bitar, that we've got another one coming out like this. This one's about baby Carson, and the mother's name is Laura. But this,
Robert, this is really a very interesting story. And what's really infuriating me about this, a little bit different than what is Dr. Jones's concern, and possibly even yours. What's really infuriating me is that this Dr. Hoffman and this then Dr. Ricci, make a conclusion. So basically, Dr. Hoffman makes a conclusion that this child, because of the type of formula she's in, she doesn't agree with the formula, so the baby's doing well. Her agenda is pushing the vaccines. She reports the child is being in grave danger to Child Protective Services. Child Protective Services, whatever they call them, agents or counselors or whatever, Christy Layton then takes the complaint, and it gets to this Dr. Ricci, who, again, as Dr. Jones mentioned, sight unseen, without examining the child, without making any conclusive examination or assessment or even reviewing any medical information, just took the reports of this Dr. Hoffman and the caseworker and made a conclusion that this child was, and let me get the exact wording here, is in desperate need of medical attention. That is infuriating.
Incredible. But again, jurisdictional issues, how do they get the access to these parents? As I said, a warning, stay out of hospitals if you can afford to, and you, any way, shape, or form you can not need to go to them, please stay out of them, because they automatically, let's say, assume that they have jurisdiction over these children. We've talked about birth certificate issues. I don't want to sideline it, but I think it's an important thing to bring up here. And, of course, with your legal background, Dr. Jones, you understand what I'm talking about. In law, jurisdiction is everything.
Right. What happens is, you know, I have a birth certificate for my daughter. That was done 7 years ago. If I had a child now, there's no way in heck that I would register my daughter with whatever local municipality. I would get a family Bible. I'd get some religious text of whatever kind. I would have a couple witnesses, and we'd write right in there the date our child's born, the place and the time and all that. And I would use that, whether it be to, you know, enroll the child in school if it need be, or to demonstrate age, and or, of course, to get a passport, which some of us know, some of us want to leave the country, even though you might want to get one, even though, again, arguably you don't need one necessarily. It's just another safe piece of paper to have. But I think, yes, sadly, because this child was registered in a sense with the state and the mother was connected, you know, again, not their fault, arguably understandable. If you're a young person and you're worried about complications of pregnancy, you don't know what can go wrong in first-time pregnancy, you want to have that little security blanket. In this instance, they've really taken it and used it as a weapon against this family.
You. Exactly. That's the point here. And thank you for backing me up on that, because I don't claim to be a lawyer, although I think just like I don't claim to be a medical doctor, we recognize that having the degree does not make you smart necessarily by definition. And in fact, you can do research that goes or far beyond or exceeds any particular profession. And in this regard, I've come to this conclusion as well, which is why I made the decisions I have for my family. But a lot of people are waking up to this nightmare. And here's a case in point of another baby being subjected to this. So the question is, what can we do to help? What are you doing? What can Dr. Bitar do? We're here for them in this way. What can we do?
Well, at this point, I'm really thinking it's a two levels of fight. It's a political fight and a legal fight. Politically, we know CPS could just back down. They could just tell the family, okay, we've seen the child, and they have four or five times already. The doctors have seen this. Three different doctors have seen this child. Two made stellar reports about his health and growth and all that. And they could say, you don't no need to go to the child abuse clinic appointment in September. We know I encourage the family to contact state reps in the Maine legislature and physically go to the CPS office, the Department of Health and Human Service office, and say, look at this baby. This baby's healthy. Here are the doctor's reports. Call this off. Get the local press. You know, shame these people. God knows there are children who are in need of assistance. There are children who have been abused and neglected. Carson is not one of them. Carson is not where we need to put the state resources. So on one hand there, but we also need oath keepers. Think of it. We know how this plays out. When the state comes to take a child, the CPS worker doesn't say, give me the baby. They say, give me the baby or else you're getting arrested. Well, what happens if the family makes the linkages, political linkages, with the local police, local sheriff, and they take the baby and say, look, he's healthy. Here are the doctor's words. He's healthy. When you get told to steal our baby, we want you to stand down. Tell those people to jump in the lake. Mm-hmm. If there's a court order, that's one thing. There's not going to be a court order. CPS doesn't come with a court order, because if they had to go to court and to show that this baby's in need of assistance, you already have two independent doctors going to say, this child is thriving. This child is healthy. This child doesn't need vaccines. And whatever the parents are and the family's giving is obviously working, because his growth is good. So that's that. On the legal end, you know, the family, they don't have an attorney. They haven't hired an attorney. They don't have money for that. But push come to shove, they might need to get an injunction to stop this appointment from having to come to fruition on September 5th. And again, that's my real concern, because I think this Lawrence Ricci, and I think people, CPS in Maine and anywhere in the country, they can just declare overnight, your baby is unsafe. If you look at the CPS guidelines for evaluating a child, they have things like at risk of danger, you know, safe, unsafe. Mm-hmm. They can declare the child has a potential to be unsafe because of either the food he's getting or because he's not vaccinated.
Yeah, I think this is an important part. I don't want to cut you off, Dr. Jones, but this is a really good point, because the relevance of them being able to review, they have no jurisdiction, they have no claim to actually even review this. And by showing up, they are actually going to lose, period. End of story. No matter what they find, they're going to end up losing. This is very similar to when in the medical board issue that I dealt with, Robert, when they invited me to come and testify against myself to explain my practice of medicine, my philosophy, you know, my relationship with my lab, et cetera, and I politely turned them down. I respectfully turned them down from the invitation. Refused the invitation, and that's when they started threatening me that I would lose my license, because they can take my license for simply me not complying with a medical board order. And then I reminded them that you have not ordered me to do anything, and if you order me, then go ahead and order me and we'll see what happens. And then, of course, then they said, do you want us to file the order in August or in September? And I said, I want to, you know, you to do it in July, which was earlier, and they said, okay, we're going to do it in December. That's that intimidation tactic, and that's when we went to Superior Court and we fought it so that I would not have to appear unless it was recorded and unless there was – in other words, it was their witch hunt. I think this is a very similar situation, that if the family actually goes, they are allowing the system to now take over and they automatically lose. Would you agree with me, Dr. Jones, that that is the issue here?
Well, of course, there's an extreme fear here, because we're talking about a young child, an infant, their first child. And again, my thought is, let's shine the light, right? We know insects run from the light. Let's get local media. Let's get national, international. Let's get them to say, oh, you want to invest, look at this baby? Good. Let's come to a neutral site. Let's get the TV cameras and let's have you pronounce in front of the world. Now, I also told the family, I said, you get, write out a letter saying that no one here at CPS, no, Dr. Ricci, Child Abuse Office, we will never declare this child is at risk, at harm, threatened, worried about anything, because he has no vaccines, and get him to sign the same thing saying, it's, you know, we won't declare anything bad about him because he's taking this goat's milk formula. And again, my thought would be, politically, they would never do that. But again, if it's on camera, if you have local press there, if you have family and friends with your iPads recording, you know, I don't mean to plug iPad, but, you know, get some recording device. Force these people, get them in the light. They don't want to be in the light.
No,
they will
scurry like roaches back under the rocks that they came from. You're very right here, Dr. Jones. And, you know, what you said, Dr. Batar, is also very correct in that you enter into that jurisdiction of a CPS. It's a quasi, you know, say, judge scenario. It's not even a real court in that sense. Whereas if you're talking about getting an injunction against them, you're holding them to the fire, going on offense in that way, rather than showing up at their hearing where the game is rigged right from the get-go.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the whole point. It's a quasi-governmental office, and they basically rig it however they want. That's why the reason they call it a kangaroo court.
Yeah, incredible. Well, Dr. Jones, man, it's amazing to connect with you. I'm glad Dr. Batar hooked us up together. I'm glad you're out there not only listening, but you're out there paying it forward, helping others. You don't have to help because you feel it in your heart. It's the right thing to do, and you're putting it out there. I encourage everybody to read up on the story as we have it published here at robertscottbell.com as well, and tell your friends if they missed the show, you're hearing it now. They can also catch it at medicalrewind.com, where all the archives of the shows are, with Dr. Batar here for Advanced Medicine Monday.
If I can add one last thing,
sure.
One last point.
Yeah.
Like the case of that young woman in Minnesota, you know, I called, and I imagine thousands of other listeners called their offices and said, you're doing something wrong with that baby. If people call up in Maine and call them and call the DHS and call the CPS and say, we know what you're doing, it's wrong, leave this family alone, they're going to go find lower hanging fruit. They're going to go bully somebody else.
Right.
But they need to know people are watching and observing and paying attention. It doesn't cost that much to call, but people need to call. Email's not good enough. They got to get a barrage of calls. Like I said, I called the one office of Dr. Tasha Hoffman and said, what's your profit margin on the vaccines? They got extremely hostile. They refused to answer. They hung up. They know what they're doing is not beneficial. If you're proud to give vaccines, then you're proud to charge for your service. They're not.
So are you saying that Ms. Tanya Allen,
Tanya,
is available, she's open as the grandmother to receive any assistance or talk to folks out there that want to provide help?
Yes, she's basically acting as a spokesperson for the family.
Okay. Well, we have that linked up in the press release that Dr. Jones put out, and it's got the phone number out there. Go check it out, and also an email directly to Tanya. So this will be another bit of homework for those of you so inclined. If you feel the nudge to move that direction, Dr. Jones has made that open for everybody by putting this word out. And Dr. Batar, man, I'm grateful that we all connected on this one.
Absolutely. I think it's an important message that everybody needs to know, and what Dr. Jones is doing actually is showing everybody, as what we preach all the time, Robert, and what we do in our respective lives, is that power to heal is theirs. And part of power to heal is making sure that you understand that you don't take away the power that you have or give away the power that you have to others and remove that healing from your own lives.
That's right. And with that, we'll be right back to wrap up the show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
For 15 years, medical labs have identified and studied redox signaling molecules. Produced within every cell, these molecules are the key to unlock cell repair and replacement. We all produce these amazing molecules, but from puberty on, less and less. But a breakthrough has been made. The world's only redox signaling molecule stabilized outside the body. ASEA is both natural and native to the body, rebuilding your supply of these amazing molecules. The benefits clinically proven. An unprecedented 500% increase in the activity and effectiveness of your own antioxidants. For athletes, a proven 10% performance boost. Yes, even proven by double-blind placebo-controlled trials. And there's more to tell you. Lots more. So go to www.rdxnatural.com. That is www.rdxnatural.com. Let us guide you to the science, support, and a money-back guaranteed first month's trial. RDXnatural.com.
Rocking the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
I want to remind all my listeners here each week, of course, 6 days a week, that the best-selling, international best-selling book, The 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away by Dr. Batar, is still out there if you haven't gotten it. You know what? We've discussed so many aspects of your book, Dr. Batar, but one of the things it does is it helps people to have a better posture about the things we're talking about, to stand strong in their commitment to health in a different way so that they cannot be bullied as easily as maybe in years past. And that to me is one of the big things that we're talking about here as well, Dr. Batar.
I actually agree with you, Robert. It was funny because I was sitting over here slouched over when you said the posture, and it made me immediately snap up. I felt like I was, you know, back in grade school and teachers correcting my posture. But no, you're absolutely right. It is. It's again, that same message of empowerment that we bring up to people. And It's a known fact that if you allow yourself to have the victim mentality, you will, by definition, become a victim. And if you don't have that victim mentality, if somebody comes and pushes you and you stand up, they will always, invariably, find easier prey to go after. We've talked about this before, and I remember talking to my friend, very good friend, Dr. John Wilson, about this once at a medical conference. We were talking about why does one person have somebody come after them, or one doctor have medical boards come after them, and the other doctors don't. And why does one doctor stand up and another doctor doesn't? And one of the interesting components that we discussed was the concept of pheromones, where the prey gives off a pheromone and the predator can sense that pheromone, can smell that pheromone, and actually zeroes in on that pheromone. Think of it as a shark that seeks blood, and any type of blood in the ocean, the shark heads for that blood. I think that that's part and parcel of what we're talking about. Don't give off that prey pheromone. Don't give off that victim energy. Don't give off that blood scent.
It's the fear, the fear pheromone.
Exactly. Which, you know. The fear pheromone. Exactly, Robert. That's it. That's exactly it.
Well, from a legal perspective, how do you equate that, Dr. Jones?
I think it's about giving notice. I recall Dr. Batar said that when one of his children was going to be born at a hospital, he put the hospital staff on notice. You're not going to vaccinate my child, told him well ahead of time, and they just backed down. They didn't even bring it up. Again, sadly, here in this case with baby Carson and the young mother, Laura, she knew enough. She had enough fortitude to say, you're not vaccinating my child. But she didn't know about the pinprick and taking the baby's blood. She didn't know that, hey, they're going to ask you about breastfeeding at WIC, and they're going to set you up to force you to give your child GMO-laden soy and a bunch of processed sugar and all the rest of that. So it's about knowing ahead of time and putting people on notice that you're not going to be messed with, that you know your liberties, you know your rights, you know what their limits are, and you're going to act in accordance with natural law, and you're going to act in accordance with, you know, protecting your family, and let them stay on their side of the fence.
Beautifully said. And it's unfortunate that we have to look at having children as an act of war, but the state has basically declared it by targeting our children with needles that are containing such horrific ingredients we wouldn't put them in a glass and drink them.
Robert, it reminds me of a quote by District Judge James Agrafee in a case that was heard in 1947, and the quote goes like this: "The privilege is neither accorded to the passive resistant nor the person who is ignorant of his rights, nor to one indifferent thereto. It is a fighting clause. Its benefits can be retained only by sustained combat. It cannot be retained by attorney or solicitor. It is valid only when insisted upon by a belligerent claimant in person. The one who is persuaded by honeyed words or moral suasion to testify or produce documents rather than make a last-ditch stand simply loses the protection." And this is an important point that I think we need to remember.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have an antagonistic, if I will say, interaction that we, you know, even if we like to be nice and spiritual and airy and fairy, the concept of spirituality, always being nice, not necessarily correct, especially when it's in defense of your children and our birthright and health, freedom, and healing liberty. Last word on this, Dr. Jones, before we wrap up here.
Don't vaccinate your children. Don't register with the state. Don't have to get a birth certificate. Write it down in some family religious text. Doesn't matter what religion it is.
Yep.
And get witnesses and tell the state what you're going to do before they come and try to control you.
Amen to that. And also, if you'd like to reach Dr. John Calvin Jones directly, I have his email linked up in the show notes. If I will, I'm going to read it right now. Biko97JCJ@hotmail.com. That's Biko, B-I-K-O, 97JCJ at hotmail.com. Also in the show notes at the blog at robertscottbell.com, we have all of the wonderful Advanced Medicine Mondays we've done here with Dr. Rasha Bitar. We appreciate you both, and what a special edition. We'll follow up on this as this continues here. So what we're left with, you guys know it. We just have to remind each and every one of you out there that the power to heal is still yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.